Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, it is the Gentleman's Roundtable on Kelman on Cliff Central. Let's put our hands together here real quick for the very cool, what's the name again?
Schmangs.
That's it.
Mangi.
There you go. So I think, you know what, actually what we're going to do, we're going to go around the room, and because we're speaking about fashion, let's go name, and then if you think you're a good dresser. So, Mangi, are you a good dresser?
Yes.
Okay. How do you know?
Because I'm always very comfortable, and every now and then, my friends compliment me.
Nice.
But they could be very biased because they're my friends. But I'm going to go with it. I'm going to run with it.
All right. Adrian?
What's going on?
How's it going? Good dresser? Bad dresser?
I think I'm definitely a bad dresser.
Why do you say that?
I look like a jock all the time.
But that's a look, though, so maybe it's not a bad thing.
And, okay, one of my best friends is in fashion, and I wear these, like, bell-bottom jeans.
Yeah.
Or flared jeans, which I'm wearing right now.
No!
It's like my standard, and she hates them. It is looking at my jeans.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how...
Stand up.
How wide that... it's wide. That's a bootleg disaster. Okay. Annalisa, do you dress well?
Hi, yes. Yes, I do dress well.
You should, because you're making a career out of this.
Yeah, I do. You know, sometimes there are moments where I think someone dresses well, particularly when they're at home and they're in their comfortable garments.
Yeah.
I look ratchet half of the time at home. But when I go out, I think I put in a bit of an effort.
Now, are you one of these fashionistas that just wears black all the time? You're in head-to-toe black today, are you? Yeah, it is head-to-toe black.
No, it's because I'm feeling sick. And I want everyone to know I'm feeling a little moody.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were just... Because the fashionistas, they only wear, like, black, right?
No, they wear, like, neutral palettes.
Oh.
So, every now and then they'll have something, either it's a handbag or, like, a jacket with a pop of color. But I think it's, like, probably the safest thing to do and the easiest, especially if you're in a rush. People forget that... fashionistas or bloggers always have to be dressed well. So you can only imagine this is from their own wardrobe.
Now, when we say that you're a fashionista, what does that mean exactly? Like, what do you do every day?
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't really consider myself a fashionista. I'm an art curator and I'm in branding and communications. But I think long time ago when I started off with a menswear blog. And after that finished or that period ended, I felt forced to have a female blog, and it exists, but, I mean, I don't update it much. It's maintenance. It's hard work.
You update your Instagram a hell of a lot.
Yes, I do Instagram.
And you look like a serious fashionista in your Instagram.
Yep.
Thank you.
Because these are professional pictures.
You know what? They are. But I think it's, for me, it's more about, like, visual curating as opposed to, like, being a fashionista.
Yeah. But it's becoming a thing.
Yeah.
To, you know, be big on Instagram and to have a blog and to go to fashion weeks and to do all of that.
Mm.
So we're angling in today on what is the state of the South African fashion industry inspired by a kind of fashion week. This was Johannesburg Fashion Week, which was last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were there every single day.
I was.
Okay. Were you front row?
I was.
Oh, wow. How did you get those tickets?
You got to be a front row person, man.
It's the fro, right?
Yeah, it's the fro. People
okay.
say they were froing all week. First and foremost, I think we can touch base on froing, because that was something that was very fascinating to me. It consisted a lot of, probably consisted more of celebrities, sponsors, and then influencers, which could be bloggers or people that are just recognized. But
what's froing?
Froing.
Yeah.
Front row.
When you always sit front row.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You froze.
It's great.
You probably thought it had something to do with hair.
Yeah. No, I really did. I really did.
I learned this from a fashionista that I think is one of the most fantastic people that we have in South Africa, Titi and Teta, who taught me about froing.
That's my cousin. Shout out.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a rock star. Throwing is, it's front row. And those are the tickets you can't buy on Compu tickets.
All right. So it makes sense why I've never throwed.
Every time you say that, I think of a guy in Boxburg throwing a ball.
Throwing.
Throwing.
Don't you see them hashtag fro? Okay, so what is this
fro thing? I didn't hashtag it. I think it's like a little arrogant.
But you still sit there.
No, you can sit there, and I think people can see you sitting front row. I don't think you need to rub it in. It's not necessarily about you sitting front row.
Would you
it's
have gone if you weren't in the front row?
Of course. Okay. I started going to Fashion Week when I was 15. I sat front row once when I was being hosted, but most of the time I was like at the back. And it was so exciting for me because I was in an elevated position where I could really see what was going on. And for me, it was experience. It was the designers, as well as seeing all the influential people I've always admired around. So I think people need to focus on what is really important, which is the state of South African fashion, as opposed to them being seen, what they're doing, unless you're promoting someone. And I think why front row was important for me this year is because I was dressed in a designer I truly believe in, Lukanyo Mdingi. He's a menswear designer and recently just launched his female wear.
Cool.
And for me to be wearing his garments made me so proud as a Capetonian, because he's based in Cape Town. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to badmouth people, but very few designers in South Africa are able to finish their garments for runway. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the
weren't
things
there malfunctions? I heard in Sunshine, you know, and Lisa's show that someone's boob was exposed.
No, I don't think that was a malfunction, but somebody's skirt was... or dress, the zipper just kind of snapped and the model had to grip onto the dress. But listen, there's a lot of pressure. You probably have a collection of 20, 35 pieces. You have to make sure it fits every single model. I think it's a lot of pressure, and I think we have to applaud people for having the courage and the production ethic to produce garments for Fashion Week. But I think the main problem is not necessarily the malfunctions, it's the fact that you can see that certain parts of the garment weren't completed, and I think that just shows a lack of respect for the consumer in South Africa.
I hear you. Like, cool, respect to people out there, you know, putting themselves out there. But
of course,
listen, you got time leading up to Fashion Week. Surely you're gonna plan yourself properly and make sure your garments are ready. Like you said, show a bit of respect.
Yeah, because the intention of putting your garments on runway is so that people can buy it. So when I'm sitting there observing the collection, I'm like, no, that person didn't put enough work into their collection, or maybe their materials that they sourced on premium enough, you know, and then they have inflated prices for it, which makes it...
Does the stuff sell, though? Because, like, when I was looking, I mean, first of all, I find Fashion Weeks, and this is why I've never been to one, very intimidating, and for me, it doesn't seem like a scenario I'd want to put myself in, where it's literally judging what other people wear. But did it? Does it serve its purpose? What is the purpose of it?
I think to probably showcase the headspace and the creative aesthetic that the designer has. I was sitting next to a lovely lady, her name was Leanne, and I met her at Fashion Week, and she said, we've had a crazy year and a half of young children fighting for their educational rights. And she says, why are we not showing that in Fashion Week? Why is that not being taken and adapted and showcased in the medium of fashion? And she said, this is an important time for South Africa. You know, we're not taking no for an answer. People are starting to speak up. Why isn't that being translated into fashion? And she said her worry is that we take a lot of looks from the Western world as opposed to maybe designing clothes for African people that relate to African people. So I think that's what is important, is to document the time in which society is in.
Sorry.
No, continue.
But isn't half of our problem, I mean, this is something that I raised last year when and like Aria, I've never ever been to Fashion Week for fun. I've only ever been there for work. I've always shooting there. So like, it's never just, oh my God, let me buy a ticket, or I got an invite, so let me just check it out. So I think for me, I'm a different audience, you know, I'm a different consumer from that perspective. But I think it was last year I asked another like blogger friend, why aren't we seeing more of these like these African, you know, African influences? But the issue that I had was that as soon as you say African, people then think print or you know, like those sort of patterns and that.
Well, and black people.
Yeah. Sure. And for me, and that's like why, like, African does not necessarily mean now it must be print, or it must be, surely we have a unique African aesthetic about our fashion and our designs, And I would have loved to see that last year, and I still didn't get to see it this year. I think maybe La Duma this year. I only saw, I think, 3 shows. And I think maybe La Duma this year and Causing Causey for me really stood out as A, designers and designs that you can actually wear as an ordinary person and not like this like 6'2" model, and it's stuff that I would love to just go to the shop and buy or order it online. I don't know how you feel as like someone who plays in the space every day.
What I liked about those two designers that you mentioned is that they adapted Western designs with African prints, but it was somewhat of a sophisticated way of doing it. I think Africa and South Africans love to add too many patterns together a lot of the time and assume that's African, but we have to realize we have 11 official languages, we have different races in this country, we have different cultures, we have different scenes. Mm. Within Joburg, I mean, I've only been here for 3 months, but there's the North kids, something like that, you know? Yeah. And there are people in Soweto. In Cape Town, we have the hipsters who go to, like, Yours Truly every now and then we have the head honcho kids, you know? So there are different scenes, and I feel like there has to be something in a collection that kind of attracts each and every single scene, something that's holistic as opposed to just focusing on one specific type of person. And then we also need to discuss, like, prices. Like, we need to be conscious of the African or South African consumer. What can they afford? What can't they afford?
It has to compete with H&M and Cotton On. So, like, how do you get to a point where you walk into a mall in South Africa and it's, like, local brands?
Oh, but then you're playing with what makes good fashion. So, like you're saying, you know what I mean, can good fashion be cheap fashion?
I mean, doesn't it come off the runway and eventually trickle down into off the rack stuff? Isn't it like it's inspired by, I mean, the big designers, don't they put like their artsy stuff on the runway and then do sort of normal stuff?
The big designers, whether you consider them big or they're commercially big, like Cloak and David Gale will showcase their clothing at a fashion show and then straight after that put it into their store. Whereas people like Rich Nisi could be selling online or within a store where there are 5 other designers. Others just kind of sell via an online store or an Instagram. You make specific orders. It depends. But I think the biggest thing that I realize is that with all these designers, their intention is to sell to a higher LSM. Mm. So what they have to do is they kind of have to up their prices a bit with the intentions of hopefully selling to a mass market. Mm. But, for example, I had my graduation in April, and I had 2 choices. I could go to a store that we've mentioned in this conversation that I will mention, or I could have gone to Lukanyu Mdingi, who I was wearing last week. And I said to him, listen, this is not in my budget. Also, people have to realize bloggers and influencers have a budget. I said, this is not in my budget. You know, I still have to put money towards my graduation party or whatever. Mm. So how much, you know, would you charge me if you made me a customized garment? And, I mean, I have no problem with mentioning how much it was. It was 2,000 Rand for a beautiful garment. So I wore it. Everyone loved it. I moved on. 2 days ago, I was trying to figure out what I was going to wear, and I saw it. And this dress looks exactly the same way it did when I first got it from him, when he hand-delivered it to me. Whereas the dress that I purchased from the place that we mentioned in this conversation seems to starting to, like, come out. The zip had a problem. I had to take it in to be fixed. You know what I mean? So you have to ask yourself, if you're paying 2,000 for a garment, or you're paying 600 Rand for this simple dress, what happens? Mm. Do you ever have to take the 2,000 Rand garment in to be fixed? No. But the 600 Rand one, it might look good. It might be affordable at the time, but you have to think long term. Am I going to have to take this in? Jeez. Is it something that I can maybe wear again? Does it look, is the material good on my skin? Mm. There's so many things to consider depending on who you are as a person.
How much pressure do, I mean, I would imagine you have quite a few conversations with designers themselves.
Yeah.
How much pressure do they then feel from, you know, the fact that production costs in South Africa are a lot higher than, let's say, just maybe flying to China and getting material there or whatever the case may be, that just the process of producing this garment is quite expensive compared to just going to like a Mr. Price or a Cotton On. And is that something that's obviously that's like that's right up there in their minds when they're creating this product? to hopefully sell to more than just fashionistas. You know, mm. they obviously want to sell it to the ordinary person like myself, Adrian and Aria.
I think you also have to consider the fact that when it's your mass-produced garments, there's probably a factory where 20 women or 40 women are being underpaid to create these garments, and they're probably being whipped. They have about a week to finish production, whereas the designer who perhaps only has one seamstress has to travel back and forth from his house to her studio to make sure that the 14 pieces that he's making are beautifully done. So that maybe takes about a month, let's say, of production. So that's time, that's petrol, that's food, that's annoying the seamstress about little things that you don't like constantly. So their prices have to kind of be a little inflated. They're very conscious of it. That's why they try and make designs that are quite relevant and something that is fitted for all. But I do think it's an issue.
But I think you touched on it just now. I mean, with that garment just you mentioned was 2,000 Rand. If it's a well-made garment and it looks good, then I'm going to pay that 2,000 Rand.
Yeah.
So you pay for what you get, I suppose.
Mm.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe you are going to pay less at Cotton On or Mr. Price or whatever it is. But if you're going to spend a good amount of money on something and it's going to last you for a long time and it looks good on you, then the equation makes sense, right?
Yeah. But I get a sense that like our mindsets as particularly young South Africans, regardless of race or whatever, but I'd like to imagine that young urban South Africans, our mindset is changing in the sense that, you know, I think 15, 20 years ago, people would have been very reluctant to pay, like a premium for like a good, well-made design, so locally made design. And nowadays people are more than happy to do that. You know, Ricky Rick had a pop-up in Sandton and that dude, and all his like, T-shirts and everything were like sold out.
800 Rand vest.
Yeah, 800 Rand T-shirts, but they were like sold out.
Guys,
like,
it was 700.
This.
I bought one. Don't add in our extra 100 Rand. Come
but
on.
The point is that you were willing to fork out 700 Rand for a T-shirt. You know what I mean? And someone else would be like, "My God, this is insane. Why would you do that?" But I think our mindsets are shifting. Even when you go to when you check out, if you go to Galaxy Boys, if you go to their store in Pretoria, like you can't get a hoodie there for like less than 1,000 Rand, yeah. And they sell out like this. So I think it's very encouraging that our mindsets are shifting, because it doesn't make sense for you to be happy to pay 1,000 Rand for a Tommy Hilfiger T-shirt, but then you know you get a or designed by whoever's local designer, same quality, and you're not willing to pay the same premium. For me, that doesn't make sense.
Well, the only way our industry is going to get better is if local people support it. So
yeah,
the more we support it, the better it's going to get.
Yeah.
And maybe that is why people showcase at Fashion Week. Drops the mic.
Okay. So now let's take a look at, I was reading some articles around this year's Fashion Week. One of the pieces that I saw on Times Live was this sort of, and they're very salacious, so one has to sort of take it as a pinch of salt. But one of their criticisms, they said that there was this year, is that it was very entertainment focused versus being very fashion focused. So they looked at the different shows, and they felt like there were too many celebrities, whereas if you look at like a New York Fashion Week or something, it's basically just models that get cast. And even in looking at some of the coverage around Fashion Week, it looks like there were a lot of celebrities. I personally think that it's to create buzz and you need to do that in a South African context. I don't know though, from a fashionista perspective, is it right that you don't cast models but you cast soapy stars? I don't know.
I think you can cast whoever you want to wear your garments. I just think that your production shouldn't be distracting.
So you shouldn't premiere new singles.
I did not say
spice.
That. I like that bum bum song.
Spice.
Okay,
spice.
It's
spice.
Popping. I think something that we don't always acknowledge, and I know you, Mangi, are quite probably finicky about it, is production. Production is so important. It dictates the tone in the room or the energy in the room, and it dictates how your collection or whatever you're showcasing is translated to whoever you're trying to target, being your market or just a consumer who probably isn't of your potential market. And I think if you spend too much time distracting people or enjoying yourself too much, I think people can see a woman who's confident or a male who's confident on the runway. We can see it. We can see it in their face, the way they walk, their posture. So I don't really think too many people within the shows that had quite an elaborate theatrical type of performance needed to be. They didn't need, not everyone needed to perform, yeah. you know, not everyone needed to do what the next model had done who just walked the runway. I don't want to be too specific about this because it's going to sound like I'm kind of, you know.
Taking shots.
Yeah, taking shots at people. But, yeah, it was distracting. People who saw videos of those shows that were a little distracting said, thank God I didn't go to that. I wouldn't have been able to focus on the garments. Mm. I don't even remember who the designers are. I just remember the performances or, like, the dabs and the moves. And
people were dabbing?
Oh, it was so much fun. But you know what?
I'll tell you.
But the problem is that the problem is that they had fun, and we want to see that.
Yeah.
But remember, there's a beat, right?
Aren't the models not supposed to smile? That's what I always
No,
see
you
on
can smile and
TV.
Do, like, a very sensual wink if you want to, if you see someone you recognize. That's in interacting with the audience. My only concern is if you're walking and your pace is 1, 2, 3 and you dab and then it's like you know and then you go 1, 2, 3 again. It's crazy. It's
maybe
amazing.
This is what makes our stuff unique though. Like because people don't dab and you're
no,
crashing.
You know what? Fira and Zinke killed it with their music and having fun on the runway.
Yeah.
And they weren't even modeling. They just came on to say thank you to,
and did their
to
thing.
The audience. That energy where you play good music and you make the audience want to move. That on its own is a performance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just to touch on what you're saying, is that why do we have to follow? You know, it's a conversation we had with Nhlanhla Nciza after her show, and you know, I know there was a fair amount of criticism leveled against her for having a lot of personalities and, but it depends what you're aiming to do with your show. So she was like, I want the music side of me. And the music inspiration to come out in the fashion and in the clothes and the garments that I create, and that also needs to be translated on the runway because hopefully I don't know if that will you know it eventually mean sales or whatever of her garments, but the for me what I liked about what she said and her assessment of it is that why do we always have to look to Milan to Paris to New York and to London. To see why, like, this is how it should be done. Like, it's cool to have to use them as a blueprint, but why do we have to copy and paste it in our context when we aren't in Paris, we aren't in Milan, and we aren't in New York? You know, we are at the bottom of the African continent, and as much as it's we can play in the global stage, and yet be uniquely African, and that includes all those other elements, I think.
I'm going to give you a different perspective, right? So you both spoke about that one show, but you both remember that show, right?
I mean, I remember all three shows that I went to.
So like,
I remember all the shows.
It's like advertising. Remember like when FNB did those Steve ads?
Yeah.
We remembered Steve. Even though we hated that ad, we remembered him. So isn't that a different perspective? Maybe the production element made you remember the show more, and that show stuck at the back of your mind?
No, Noel, the point I'm making is that we should dictate what we want and what we want to sell to our people and what our people want to consume. They will also dictate, I think. And that has nothing to do with why must we have tall, pale models all looking miserable when they run out, you know, when they're down the runway. I think
it can be more joyous. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you look at it, again, Kosi Nkosi for me was a great example. She had models of all shapes and sizes.
Mm, they were so sexy.
Yeah, all shapes and sizes, different beautiful races, women. and some fuller figured women. And it's for me, it's a reflection of her creations. She's making it for like a real woman who, again, isn't 6 foot and is skinny and stuff. So I think for me, that stuff is really, really
Well, we
important.
Have a high obesity rate in South Africa, so she's really just catering to the market.
Oh,
we have to. We really do. It's like literally as high as America.
Wow.
So she's got to make money. She knows what she has to do.
You know how I would like to challenge Africa Fashion Week, South African Fashion Week, Joburg, Cape Town, Lagos, whatever, is the space, the structure. You saying, why don't we create something and make it our own? But we're copying the same type of space and structure the international people have.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't, I mean, we don't have to make it all African tribe, village vibes, you know, because I think that's the next thing that people would probably think of. But why don't we build our structures? Why don't we bring in architects to build something for Fashion Week? Why don't we take it the next level? Mm-hmm. The problem is that we act like we have, you know, a high self-esteem, but we don't. No. I feel like we do the bare minimum, and not even with the designs or the production, but let's be innovative. Let's say, okay, cool, we did it in Nelson Mandela Square this time, but why don't we go somewhere where there's a lot of land and build something from scratch? You know, build something and get all creatives involved and see how that lends itself to something bigger.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing we see overseas. We got to land this plane now. We need final thoughts and Twitter handles.
One last question. Alisa, you might have some insight into this. Why do we have... So we've got AFI. I don't know if AFI is the same as Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. Why do we have two different fashion weeks? Isn't that like almost like divide? And you always see like... You'll see like Gerrit Johan and them showcasing in the one fashion week. And then you'll see like what David Lally and a bunch of other designers...
That's the other one.
At the other one. Why don't we have just one proper fashion week, and then it's a big thing like the one in London, and it's a whole week, it's not just 3 days? Why is that?
To be honest, I'm not well informed on that. But
I've asked.
You
do? It's literally just personality issues.
But it's also, besides personality issues, I think it's also sponsored issues.
Yeah.
Sunglass Hut does South African Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Sunglass Hut, Mercedes, they'll clash.
Okay.
They'll just clash. They have different expectations, different probably ideas of who should be showcasing, just a different vision. And maybe if they, maybe you're right. Some people just don't always get along. So they're just like, let's just step back.
Guys, come on.
But I think it gives us time. I think it gives us time. AFI Fast Track is an amazing opportunity. What I noticed is that besides bringing on emerging designers, they brought back Rich. They brought back Rich and said, okay, this is the alumni. We've had the three designers. We've announced who the winner is. Congratulations. And now we're going to bring Rich back on, who was one of our emerging designers a year or two ago. Okay. So they brought him back. And something that I always have a problem with South African fashion is that they don't do follow-ups. And for me, it was very clear that they followed up on Rich.
Yeah, AFI, though, we had during Sia Bile's segment a couple of weeks ago, the head of AFI Fast Track. It's a very impressive operation that they run in terms of showcasing young designers and that. And that's part of Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week.
Yes.
And SA Fashion Week, I think it's personality, and then it's also just they've got different agendas.
Okay.
Because I've also wondered that before, why they don't. And then also Mercedes-Benz Benz International, and it's aligned, and it's all of that. It's very complicated, Schmangs. There's drama in every industry, bro.
Drama.
I am glad I'm not a fashionista.
It's hectic, yeah. All right, let's get to closing remarks and handles here.
Adrian.
You were talking to me.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't at Fashion Week. I'm going to just stick with being yourself and wearing my flared jeans. Twitter handle, Adrian Butter, ADRIANBUTTA.
Dig it.
See, I would love to see some more streetwear at fashion weeks in the years to follow, particularly streetwear that reflects the space that young South Africans are in. And my Twitter handle is @Schmangs and Mangi_Schmangs on all the other networks.
I would like for us to define what African fashion is, and for us to focus on attention to detail as well as finished products. My Instagram and Twitter handle are @AnnelisaManglu, AnnelisaManglu.
Fantastic. Annalisa, Adrian, and Mangi, thank you so much for stopping by. That there is the GRT with the most attractive member that we've ever had on the GRT. And that's you, Annalisa. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Nick Hillman on CliffCentral.com.